This is the Pacifica Foundation National Finance Committee meeting. Today is Tuesday, September the 19th, 2006. And again, this is the National Finance Committee. My name is LaVarne Williams. I'm the chair. We are continuing a meeting from Monday, September the 18th, which was yesterday. And I just want to make sure that everyone get a copy of the agenda that Jane had sent out last night.
Yes.
Very good. Thank you. And so what we'd like to do is the roll call. Shall I or shall you? First we can go into our time management and housekeeping here. Casey McFall, the secretary, is not on the line yet, so I would like to entertain.
This is Jane again.
Hi, Jane. Oh, very good. Our secretary, Casey McFall, is not on the line yet, so I wanted to know who would be would take notes, take the minutes for this evening.
This is Sandra. I will attempt to take minutes for you.
All right, then. Thank you very much, Sandra. Okay. We'd like to, again, thank Jane for the minutes and also for the agenda that was sent out for today. So, Sandra, should you take the roll, or should I just go ahead and do that?
If you would please take the roll. I don't have a complete list of who all is on the committee.
Okay, I think I have it here. Okay, so we'll start with Lonnie Hicks.
Here.
Sandra Rawline.
Here.
Brian Edwards Teekert.
Here.
Patty Heffley.
Here.
Baruti Bediako.
Here.
Dave Adelson.
Here.
Jane Gatewood. Here. Ambrose Lane. Teresa Allen.
Here.
Casey McFall. And our ED, Executive Director, will usually sits in on the meetings, and I believe he said he would try to get in. I think he's traveling this evening, or he didn't have a phone available other than a cell phone. So then what I'd like to do is to go over the agenda, and I can read that. On the agenda for today, again, it's a carryover from yesterday's meeting, and I will have a minute. The next agenda item is the approval of minutes. We wanted to review the National Finance Committee motions that we'll have for PNB approval for the PNB meeting that's meeting next week in Berkeley. The next item is the 2007 budget, where we would go over, again, the WBAI. There's a motion that we had on the floor concerning the BAI budget. We want to go over WPFW's budget in terms of entertaining a motion on provisional approval. We would like to review the KPFK budget, the national office budget, and then we wanted to do a policy discussion regarding not only some of the approved motions, but some of follow through on a couple of provisions in KPFK's budget and the policy regarding shortfalls and excesses and, in terms of the categorization, major donor versus listener support. Are there any changes, amendments to the agenda?
Madam Chair?
Yes, please, Lonnie.
Well, we had, I wanted maybe we could add to the agenda identifying the item in the National Office budget for board fundraising.
Okay.
And also the three meetings rather than four meetings.
Okay.
And finally, I did send out, I don't know if folks got it, an omnibus motion around some of the other budgets. Want to maybe review that on this agenda?
Okay. Where would you like to place these? Do you want to discuss it along with the National Office or...
That's policy.
Yeah, maybe policy.
Okay.
And this is Dave.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, but let me just get clarification. So all three, board fundraising, the meetings per year, and the omnibus resolution, or not resolution, on motion for discussion.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
At least, letting the board know that it is. Those two items are in there, and then the omnibus motion is one that I thought we'd bring forth for discussion, and hopefully a motion might emerge.
Okay. Just for clarification, you're adding an item to the agenda under policy discussion regarding, tell me again, three items that you just mentioned.
One would be note of having us discuss the idea of having three board meetings rather than four next fiscal, saving $60,000. And then there is $50,000 in the national office budget, which would be raised by the board. There are some board members who are interested, who do want to fundraise, and this is a way of giving them an impetus to start to do that. And then I had sent out an omnibus motion, which would be calling for some station budgets to be looked at again in 45 days or so, up to November 30th. And looking at them would involve asking stations and managers to come up with an 18-month budget that would bring those stations' budgets into board-approved guidelines.
Okay.
I did send that out to folks today.
Okay, so that's looking at the three PMB meetings per year as opposed to four, and then the request that stations make an 18-month budget.
Yes, and that way I think that that would be a proviso for the approval of budgets, of some budgets that we have before.
Was there a third item that you were adding in there?
Well, no, just the three. Omnibus, board meetings, and board fundraising, those three.
Okay.
This is Dave?
Yes, Dave.
I'd like to also take a few minutes to let you guys know what I've scheduled for the board meeting. I just put out the proposed draft agenda to Greg, and I'll be circulating it to the board later tonight, but I wanted to give you the structure that I laid out for all of this stuff and get some feedback on it.
Okay, and where would you like to do that?
It affects how much we'll be able to get done at the board meeting. And maybe if we did it early in this agenda, by knowing how much time we'll have at the PMB, we could adjust our goals for this meeting so that, you know, we don't do more than the PMB is going to be able to process.
Okay, so where would you like to place that?
I don't have the agenda handy. It's up to you. I think it might help to do it before we deal with the policy motions.
Okay, so that would be after the discussion of the budgets?
Yeah.
Okay, and this is what are you adding, Dave?
Review of the PMB, of the portions of the PMB agenda devoted to finance committee.
Agenda. Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other changes, updates, revisions? Okay. Then, may I entertain a motion to approve the agenda?
I move the agenda.
Thank you. And the minutes, we had minutes that were sent out last night. Did everyone have an opportunity to look at those? I don't hear an affirmative. Do we want to, on the agenda, let me back, well, we've already approved it, but we need to talk about the next meeting also somewhere in the discussion. And do we want to, can we add that now that we have approved the agenda? Can I add that now or discuss that now?
What are we talking about, Levon?
The next meeting of the Finance Committee. Although it's not on the agenda.
Sometime in 2007, maybe?
I would love to do that. However, I think that we have some housekeeping to do after our motions today. So I think the normal time was the third Thursday? I believe it is. So that would be October the 19th. following season. Okay, so that would be the third Thursday in October, which is October the 19th. So,
the 19th.
I'm sorry?
The 19th of October. Okay.
Okay. Sorry about that. That's why in terms of approval of minutes, so can we move approval of minutes? Oh, that's going to be difficult for me, though, in terms of doing a report for the PNB meeting.
Are these the only minutes pending?
No. We have minutes from the previous meeting, I believe, except for. If we could move for approval of the next of the minutes at the next meeting on the 19th, and in the meantime, I have to write a report for the PNB, so I'll have to go and just pull all the draft minutes, and hopefully if there's some issues, we can raise those later. Okay, so again, we want to move the approval of minutes to October the 19th meeting. Okay, so Nina, in terms of where the next item on the agenda is the review of the National Finance Committee motions for PNB approval. Okay, the ones that we have that I...
May I ask a question?
Sure, Teresa.
Are our meetings of the Finance Committee regularly now, the third Thursdays?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, sure, you're welcome. Okay, we'll go in and schedule that. And so, again, so back to the reviewing the National Finance Committee motions that we have for PNB approval. We have the reserve policy. Has everyone had a chance to look at that? Okay. So is there a discussion on that, or where were we in terms of the reserve policy?
Do you want to?
Is that the portion of the agenda we're in?
Yes, we are.
So are we moving it right now?
Well, no. I need to have discussion in terms of if we have. I believe that we had moved. That it was already a motion that we had approved, but perhaps not. I don't have a copy of it here with me. I'll have to find it. You know what? I'll have to get on my cell phone, but
I don't think we ever approved it.
Okay. Yeah, it never came to a
vote.
That's
why I thought it would be a motion that would be in the section on motions we'll be bringing to the PMB.
Okay, so I'm...
Dave, that section is currently item 3. That's where we are right now, is motions, NFC motions for PMB approval.
Oh, okay, because I'd asked that I review the agenda before we did that, and I was told that that was after we did the station budget.
Oh, no. No, policy discussions were at the end. No, the review of the motions is number 3 on the agenda. Okay. So again, does everyone have a copy of that of the reserve policy? Again, I'm going to have to get off my cell phone and get off my phone and get on my cell phone so I can go into AOL rather than just DSL.
So Dave, do you think that it's not practical to bring that up to the PMB at this meeting in Berkeley?
No, I think it's very important and it's very relevant because. I'll just reprise it. I've got the CFO doing a CFO report for half an hour, a budget overview on Friday night, followed by the Finance Committee's action items. And then the budget approvals are the next day on Saturday with 35 minutes for each station. They divide it up, and I can describe that later. But, no, the surplus and reserve policy, getting that addressed prior to the budget consideration is definitely going to provide an important context for that discussion. So it's very important. In fact, I think that and the recommendation about the number of meetings are probably, are two of the more important things we'll be bringing in addition to the budget itself.
So I don't remember us voting on that. Does anybody else remember us voting on that?
I remember postponing a vote on it.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
Right. Okay, so I am going to put my cell phone. Okay, so I'll go and pull that and it out. Okay, can we go to the next one until I do that? Okay, the financial impact of motions, that was the the one that I think that was finalized by Lonnie. I think all of these were on a previous agenda that we had worked up that was like a couple of months ago. So as soon as I can put those up and send those, I'm going to talk to you about them. The other proposed change was a proposed bylaw on the meeting.
I'm afraid you're kind of broken up from here. Is there somewhere you get better reception?
Essentially unintelligible.
My computer was talking.
No reflection on you. It's your phone.
Fine. I think. It's my computer put on at the same time. We can go to the proposed bylaws change also. Now, that was the proposed bylaws change. Teresa had sent that out, requesting directors to support it. Now, I have not received any information on that. Teresa, had you guys gotten any response on that?
I could not hear what you said. What did you say?
I'll have to get
you heard
back
my
on
name,
that.
But something about reporting.
Just a second. Okay. Is this better?
So far.
Not very.
What's that?
So far, so good. Start speaking.
Okay. Teresa had sent out a notice to the PNB that there was a proposed bylaws change. I think we did approve that motion. And inviting other directors to support the bylaws change. So the question is, Teresa, have you received any feedback, any support? I know I got one email where one director would not support it, but I had not received information from others.
Well, that's a good... I did get at least two people stated that they would sign it. And actually, I have four people so far.
Okay, so...
Including the members of this committee who've endorsed it, like Dave, Ambrose?
I'm not a co-signer to it.
I do have some members of this committee who have signed it. I guess I need to call people. I'll put that on my list of things to do tomorrow, to formally get enough people to sign that. I also need to talk to David Adelson, because I think that this would fit with the issue of how the affiliate directors are seated. And Dave, you had said something about you thought that perhaps they could be seated in January without a bylaws change, so I need to talk to you about that. I'll try and call you maybe tomorrow morning about that. I would hope that I would have at least six people that would sign on to this. Does anybody want to articulate that now, national board members?
Well, I think that when I initially sent it out, we had estimated the savings, and the upside is that there is approximately, we're saying $60,000 in savings right there if we have three meetings versus four. Is someone like... going in and out of a door.
That's me.
Okay. And that I think the other part of the proposal is that we would do, I guess, for a fourth meeting, we could, if there's a desire, we could do a teleconference. But we have our usual monthly PNB meetings. And on the downside of this is that if we have three public meetings versus four, that's one less time a year that the PNB is actually have face time with the listener. So there's a downside in terms of not having the four public meetings and having only three per year. So if there's someone else that would like to discuss this.
Well, I'm still very much for it. Sorry.
Yes.
That's really something that six directors have to put forward, and given how heavy our agenda is, I'm not sure that it's something for the committee, since the committee is not authorized to propose bylaw changes anyway.
Right. We made a recommendation. Now six directors have to take it up. I think it's out of our lap.
Right.
And we've already dealt with it, voted on it, the whole deal. So I think we should move.
I move the agenda.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me clarify that there was a question about what it was. So I just gave a little short response. So that was just for information. It's not to open up the discussion again. Just for information in terms of the what motion is. So there's no one else here to contribute, and we can move on. Okay, so the other is the motion on the financial impact of motions. And I will just, since all of these, I think that we have either the financial impact of motions, I'm sure that we have passed. The reserve policy is the one I think is still open for discussion. And let's see if we can find, if I can find a copy here.
I did send out a copy on a reserve.
Hang on, Paul. I'll be back in 10 minutes. Thank you.
Okay. You did. That's what I'm looking for, Lanya, is for what you had sent out.
Yeah, I sent one out 10 minutes ago, too, just so they'd be on.
Okay, thanks.
Casey?
Good afternoon. Okay, here's the reserve. Okay, then fine. And I will on my landline. Okay, welcome, Casey. We're going over the reviewing the National Finance Committee motion. So Lonnie has just sent out the reserve policy. So has everyone received that and had a chance to look at it? Because what we wanted to do is to really determine what the status is, and if there is further discussion needed, if we do need to pass it as a motion, that would be great.
There were some things that we were figuring.
Okay, so has everyone received the reserve? Lonnie, would you just start on the discussion about the reserve policy, please?
Sure.
Did you see I just sent it out again?
Yeah, Dave and Brian and I worked on it. I think Barudi might have worked on it as well in a working group. And our charge was to come back with draft surplus and reserve policies. And again, it's an exercise in being clear about what we mean by surplus, what we mean by reserves. And it's critical because much of what we can and cannot do is relating to board policy around surpluses and the absence of policy around reserves. So here's what's proposed. I did add some of my edits, and I put them in bold so that folks could see. It's for discussion, of course, for amendment if people feel it needs amending. Wish it was shorter, but it turns out that's what that's what we came up with. For number one, a unit's reserves should be defined as cash in bank minus accounts payable, as reflected on the end of fiscal year balance sheet. So it says that reserves are the amount of cash that you have left after you have paid bills, accounts payable. So if you have $100 in the bank, but you owe out $90, your net reserves would be $10, to take a simple-minded example. So that's the definition of reserve. That is how much cash you have or that is not going to be used in operation. The second item is a unit's annual net surplus. This is to be defined separate from reserves. And a unit's annual net surplus should be defined as the amount labeled surplus deficit after cash and capital on the end of fiscal year income statement. And I'm suggesting our group didn't suggest it, but I'm suggesting language on the end of that, at the end of the fiscal year income statement, and constitutes the board requirement for a one-month surplus after cash and capital, just to be clear about how that ties to current policy. So our annual net surplus in our income statement there is that section after cash and capital, which we use. That's what we traditionally use to look at a station's surplus deficit picture. So it's not new. That one has than board policy, and we've been using it in our discussions for several years. Number three, each unit, we are now back to reserve. Each unit must have a reserve of at least 1 month's operating expenses at the end of the fiscal year. Units may tap this reserve to cover cash flow shortfalls, but must replenish it by the end of the same fiscal year. So what this says is that all units, including National Office, must have 1 month in reserve. That is to say, if you have 1 month as an annual net surplus, you must have an additional month in reserve, which is very prudent, not unusual. Many, many organizations many times will ask for 6 months in reserve or 3 months. We need to continue that goal. Some stations have 1, 2, maybe 3 months in reserve. Some have no months in reserve, and that's very, very dangerous. As you know, 1 month, one bad drive, and that station will be needing funds. The third item, so you have to have 1 month at the end of the fiscal, not the beginning, but the end, and units can tap the reserve to cover cash flow shortfalls during the course of that year, but by the end of the fiscal year, they must put the money back in reserve. Number four, any unit not able to meet the operating reserve requirement shall budget an annual net surplus of no less than 1 month's operating expenses until it satisfies the reserve requirement. Say you have a unit that can't meet the operating reserve requirement, having the 1 month, then the requirement is that you shall, in a current budget, have a budget for a net surplus. And that net surplus, in effect, starts that unit on the way to creating that reserve. Five, each unit must have an emergency reserve equal to at least 2 months' operating expenses. So an emergency reserve is an addition to the 1 month reserve, as I recall. You folks can correct me if I'm wrong. So now you have 3 months in reserve, two of which are for emergencies, one of which is the normal reserve that can be tapped and used and borrowed against. An emergency reserve, why do you need an emergency reserve? Well, if the building burns down or if you have a bad drive, that station or that unit needs to be able to pay.
Ambrose? Tristan.
Yes. That unit must have the ability to pay off bills and pay its bills, pay staff salaries. So having an emergency reserve of 2 months and a 1 month reserve, total three, is what is being recommended. Units may use this emergency reserve only in the case of a catastrophic event and must submit to the CFO and the Finance Committee a plan for replenishing it should they use it. So, six, a unit that does not meet the emergency reserve requirement shall budget an annual net surplus of no less than one-half of 1 month operating expenses until it satisfies the emergency reserve requirement. That is to say, a unit that does not have any emergency reserve will start to have to budget to build toward that emergency reserve at the rate of one-half month per year. And that surplus shall enter the unit's reserves at the end of the fiscal. You don't have to have it at the beginning, but at the end. So stations that don't have a reserve or an emergency reserve must start to budget for it at least at the rate of one-half month per year. So if you need 3 months, it'll take you 6 years to get there, but presumably that's possible. Finally, the policy says 1 month operating expenses. That is to say, money that station or unit will be planning to use in its operating in a given year. That's how operating is usually defined, as the unit's annual operating cost. And this one I did add plus central service. That is to say, that's how we've been using it. That's how we've been defining it. I wanted to make it clear. This is not a change.
But you left something important out. It should be divided by 12.
Yes, thank you, sir. You're absolutely right, John, about that part. So that would be 1 month. So operating expense is defined as 1 month as the annual operating cost divided by 12, and includes both what are in our budget, the total expenses plus central service costs. And that's how we've been using it. That's how we've been budgeting, and that's how we've been evaluating it. And of course, for folks, everyone sort of knows that why the 1 month emergency Why have 1 month? It's because as we end our fiscal on September 30th, many stations start going to dry. Well, until the middle of October. And so this allows stations to have, A, build some sort of reserve, B, pay bills in October should there be a bad drive. There will be some funds in reserve to pay those bills, and you don't start off the year in the hole and using October's receipts to pay of prior year fiscal's bills. So we want October drives to pay October bills rather than September bills or prior year bills. So anyway, that's the reserve policy, and it's a little complicated, I know, but part of it is already part of our board policy, but just tries to specify that the intent is that each unit would start to bill prudent reserves up to 2 months for emergencies and 1 month in reserve, and that is what is really new.
Okay, thank you. Is there a discussion?
Brian, it's back.
Brian.
I think the concern when we went into this discussion is that the current reserve policy is not clear to all of us who need to understand it. And the idea was that there should be a certain amount you have to have in the bank, and there should be a certain rate at which you have to reach that amount. And then after that, you should essentially be able to spend what you're taking in. In other words, once you have enough in the bank, a balanced budget should be sufficient. I think the room for us to discuss on this committee is that emergency reserve portion. I think it's prudent to have more than a month in reserve. If it's not politically feasible, however, to create a 3-month reserve requirement, we might want to winnow that down. And this sentence that Lonnie has inserted on item 2, where he says, and constitutes the board requirement for a 1 month surplus after cash and capital, kind of muddies the waters for me. So I would actually move we strike that, everything after fiscal year income statement on item 2.
Okay. What's your thinking? How does it muddy?
Yeah,
Brian,
is that a friendly amendment?
Can I weigh in on that?
Just a second. Lonnie, were you speaking?
Yeah, I was just asking for clarification of what Brian thought it was, it muddied the water. Just so
could you repeat that, Brian?
It references a policy that has been the subject of endless contention as to what exactly it means. My understanding was that this policy we're voting on today is essentially meant to clarify and replace that old policy.
Brian, which point are you referring to?
Item 2. Reads, a unit's annual net surplus shall be defined as the amount labeled surplus deficit after cash and capital on the end of fiscal year income statement. That was where the sentence ended coming out of work group. Lonnie has proposed that we add, and constitutes the board requirement for a 1 month surplus after cash and capital.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, because I thought we were
Dave?
Defining reserve versus annual net surplus.
Okay, Dave.
Wow.
Thank you. The purpose of the policy was, first of all, we responded in part to a brief point about the fact that stations that are, you know, struggling to get back when they've had gone through a difficult period might not be able to build up that fast in the rest. The whole structure of the policy was sort of designed to do what Brian said, but also to have more flexibility in it for stations. So it's basically specifying a minimum of a half a month for everybody all the time, but more than that if you're able and don't have your reserves together. So the design of the overall policy was meant to address the question of what the surplus requirement was and what the reserve requirement is. So I'm also in favor of striking that portion, because the rest of the policy does address what is required in terms of your surplus budgeting and in terms of your existing reserves.
Okay, tell me again what you're wanting to strike.
Item 2?
Item 2, what part?
All of it?
Everything
no,
in
no.
bold black.
Exactly.
All words.
On item two.
Can we
all words after fiscal year income statement.
So,
it should be a period after income statement.
Okay, I have a question.
Sure, Jane.
Okay, a unit's annual net surplus. Where do we need that? Where do we need that? Where does that come into? I mean, because the next two items are, the next three items are referring back to definition number one. Is that correct?
Correct. And we have gone around and around about what's a reserve and what's a surplus. So we are defining in point one what a reserve is and point two what a surplus is. And then it's saying you've got to have a reserve of at least, three says you have to have a reserve at least this much. Four says if you don't have that reserve, then you have to budget a surplus of not less than 1 month. And then further down, it says any unit that doesn't meet the emergency requirement has to have an annual net of no less than half a month until it satisfies.
On the fact, Madam Chair.
And I'm
yes,
sorry. And then.
Just a second. Jane, did you have a follow-up?
Yeah, I didn't understand. So each of those refers to the definition number one, a unit's reserve. So,
no, the definition one and two, we use both words in the thing. We use the word surplus. We use the word reserve. Point one defines reserve. Point two defines surplus.
Right.
So one question. Here's a way to think about it. One question
just
is how much money do you have?
Hold on.
We need to go in order here. Dave, were you through? Jane had a follow-up. So, Dave, were you through speaking?
Yeah.
I'm asking for clarification.
I thought, okay, is that Brian?
Yeah.
Okay,
oh,
please.
The policy is basically answering two questions. How much cash do you have to have in the bank? And how fast do you have to get there if you don't have it? Right? So the reserves is how much you have in the bank. The surplus requirement is how fast you have to meet that bar. Right? So annual net surplus comes up on item four. And item six says, if you're starting from zero, you have to budget a surplus of a month. If you've already got a month, you have to budget a surplus of half a month.
And this is Dave.
Dave?
In item four, it says any unit that does not meet the operating reserve requirement shall budget an annual net surplus of no less than 1 month's operating expenses until it satisfies the operating reserve requirement, because we're essentially saying there's two reserves. There's your operating reserve and your emergency reserve, and together they amount to 3 months. But to specify point four, the last three words where it says the reserve requirement should say the operating reserve requirement.
Okay.
In parallel to six, which says the emergency reserve requirement.
That makes sense.
Madam Chair, can I get on
the side? Yes, Lonnie.
I'd have to disagree with that interpretation. We're all in the same group and maybe understanding things totally differently.
When you guys did the working group, I have a couple of versions of this, but continue.
Yeah, and I just want to be clear about what Dave and Brian are saying in terms of intent. To me, the language that I added was making it clear that we were not abandoning the one-month surplus requirement, which is part of board policy. Now, I'm hearing that from them that their intent was to abandon the one-month surplus. I think that would be imprudent to do, and so I don't support it. I think that policy has been in place, I think, at least 3 years, and it has been absolutely critical to stations and units regaining financial solvency. And if this policy has the effect of repealing that board policy, I would have to oppose that on the grounds it's not prudent to do. And I want to be clear if that's the effect. So this is a repealing of an existing board policy. It's certainly a major modification of an existing board policy that has served us well.
The language in the existing policy is reserve, not surplus.
No, I proposed this in 2003. So I'm clear about what it meant, I mean, the board was too.
But the word it uses is reserve, not surplus, and now you're calling it a surplus policy.
Well, let me see if I'm mistaken about the intent. If the intent is drastically different than that policy, and we're not just talking semantics, but if we are, if you're saying it's substantially the same, fine, I don't have a problem. But if you're saying that this would, in fact, repeal or drastically alter that policy, then I would have to raise real questions about the wisdom of doing that. But that means that a station could end a fiscal year with zero if it had 2 months in the bank, or 3 months for that matter, and not have to budget at all for any operating surplus. And I'm saying that that is not wise to do, because that's exactly how we started. It meant that the following month, that station that had $0 in the bank at the end of the fiscal would immediately have to borrow some money from that reserve, whatever amount that was, and then that starts people borrowing from those monies, and it would need permission to do that. And secondly, it starts to invade savings, what amounts to savings, and that should be a requirement that gets board approved, because the sums of money are considerable, $200,000 to $300,000. Finally, I won't be too long-winded here. That is precisely the situation we are finding ourselves in when we look at the FY06, September 30th. We're finding stations are having to borrow from those reserves. And next year, when I look at how much has been budgeted, they will have to borrow even more from those reserves. And my feeling is you can't start down that slippery slope and not realize that stations are not producing enough surplus to cover the expenses for a given year, and in fact are borrowing from savings. So I said, let's not do that. Let's solve the problem so that people don't have to start borrowing from those savings. Anyway, that's my view on it, and see what you folks think.
Can I get that?
Dave, I'd like to be on the stack.
And Baruti.
I heard someone before Dave.
Baruti.
I can't. Teresa, is that you?
No, it might have been me, Baruti.
Okay, Baruti, okay. So I think I heard Baruti before Dave. Okay,
and
Baruti, Dave, and who was next?
LaVarne, it's Casey. I'd like to get on too, please.
Okay, so I have Baruti, Dave, Casey, please.
Okay, my understanding, and I was in the working group too, was that if a station had 3 months, they had met the 3 months, the two emergency and the third month, that they didn't have to continue the budget, because that's what I thought that's what we were trying to get away from, that we had to continue to build this 1 month, keep adding 1 month every year. Lonnie, in your scenario, at what point does a station reach a point at which it has enough in the bank reserve at which they don't have to budget 1 month, 1 month surplus in the following year?
That's an excellent question. That's an excellent question. And here's my answer. Say a station had no money in reserve. The policy that I'm supporting says that, look, if you start the year with 1 month from reserves or wherever the source is, or in the bank, if you break even during that year, you will still have 1 month. And so there's no
right.
multi-year requirement at all. I'll repeat that.
You didn't answer my question. I said, how many months do you have to have in the bank at which, when you prepare a budget for the following year, you don't have to budget a surplus?
I'm saying that the policy that I'm supporting doesn't say anything about reserve, having reserve monies in the bank at all. This is what this policy is trying to get to. The policy that I feel is being abandoned is the one that says, look, there's no multi-year requirement. If you start the fiscal year with cash in the bank or operating at $350,000 and you end the year with break even, you still have $350,000 as an operating surplus. You do it one time. If you generate that operating surplus one time, then you never have to generate it again, and you can break even after that. So, I don't know, trying to make it clear, that if I start in my bank account with $350,000, and I go a year, and I don't invade it, and don't spend it, I'll have $350,000 at the end of the year if I break even. So, it's fine. I'm just saying that if I start to spend that $350,000, that requires board approval. It should require a closer look because we're spending the savings.
I'm
I'm still not clear, so I'll pass.
Rudy was there, follow up.
No, I'm asking one question, and Lonnie's saying something else. So we're not.
Your voice is still fading.
I'm saying I didn't get an answer. To me,
tell me one more time, Brody.
I'd like to address it if I could.
Let's see where we are. Brody has a question. Lonnie attempted to answer. What was your question again, Brody?
At what point does a station look at its bank reserves? In other words, the excess of its cash over its unpaid bills. And figure out how many months it has of its expenses it can cover. How many months does it have to have in the bank at which it can say, now when I do my budget for next year, I can do a break-even budget. I don't have to budget a reserve. Now, my interpretation of what we were trying to put together here and what this says is that once you have 3 months of expenses covered in the bank over and above your unpaid bills at year end, once you have 3 months, that when you put together your budget for the following year, you can put together a break-even budget. I thought that's what we were saying, and I thought that that's what we had achieved. But now Lonnie's saying that he doesn't, if I understand what he's saying, that he doesn't see a scenario under any circumstances in which a station can submit a budget in which they don't have a one-month surplus budgeted.
Okay, thank you. Dave?
Yeah, so the Lonnie talks about the existing policy, and this is something we've gone back and forth over forever. One of the things in here was trying to say, look, we agree that stations have to build up reserves of significantly more than 1 month, and I respect Lonnie's concern that if a station only had a one-month, what we're calling a reserve here, i.e. something that shows up in the balance sheet as an amount of money that you have in the bank more than what you owe equal to at least a month, that 1 month is probably not, you know, secure enough because if anything happens to it, it gets drained, et cetera, et cetera. And there may be operating expense draws on that money in the bank. But Baruti's point is that, you know, we are right now asking stations to all show positive numbers equal to 1 month in the income statement at the end of the year, i.e., they're making more money than they're spending by that amount of money. And what we were trying to do is say, once you've done that for long enough that you have built up 3 months' worth of reserves, if you want to do something else, you can. You may not. You may choose not to. You may choose to keep budgeting surpluses, and then those surpluses could be spent on other things, you know, the following year. And I understand Lonnie's point as to the wisdom of budgeting not to break even, because if you fall short, you're dipping into your reserves, but to actually have a little extra. But the way this policy was designed was to say, until you have a one-month operating reserve, i.e. that money in the bank at the end of the year that there's no claim on it for accounts payable, that until you have that, you have to always budget at least a month surplus in your budget. That much comes in the bottom line. After you've got that, it has to be at least a half a month, and you have to contribute at least half a month to an emergency fund. The idea being that stations would still budget more than that amount of surplus, and anything beyond half a month, which has to go into the emergency fund, could be used, you know, for other projects or other things people wanted to do. We talked on the working group about research and development, the need to spend funds on things other than just building up reserves and ongoing operating activities. And then once you, presumably, if you're building up your emergency fund at a rate of half a month per year, it's going to take you up to 4 years to get you 2 months. And then at that point, if you want, you could lower the amount of surplus that you were required to generate each year. Whether you'd actually do it or not is something that would come out in the budget process. And I personally would like to not spend much more of the committee's time on this. I mean, look, budget policy or no policy, look at what we're considering in our budgets this year. We're considering an awful lot of stations who are not going to be making the one-month surplus. We could continue to say that's a target, that's wise, you know, but I would like to get this thing passed because, you know what, it's going to be a little while before any station has effectively 3 months of reserves. And this policy is an advance beyond what we've had so far. This policy says you have to keep paying in until you get 3 months' worth of reserves. So it was an attempt to be to deal with both things. I think it does. I mean, the desire of some stations to be able to spend money on something other than just building reserves, but also the necessity to build up more significant reserves than just a month, and therefore this thing of calling the surplus a reserve and continuing to require that every year. So I hope we can move it, and within the next 3 to 4 years, while stations are building up this 3 month reserve, we could look at adding additional surplus policies. I'd love it if we could vote this thing, move it forward, and get on to our other businesses.
Casey?
Yeah, just two really basic things that may be obvious. Because Baroudi pretty much said what I was trying to say, and that, for me, the last couple of years, the problem has always been understanding the definition between a surplus and a reserve and how that gets used. And it seems to change from conversation to conversation. And so it's important to me that we really understand when we're talking about a reserve and a surplus. Because, Lonnie, I have to say that today was the first time I'd ever, or at least ever recall hearing the term a one-month surplus. I've heard that, you've got so much surplus that you've got to use some of it to meet your one-month reserve. So I'm not sure that I still understand from this policy what those definitions are. And the second thing for me is just that, we can budget all we want. We can budget, 3 years in 1 year, but it doesn't matter if we don't hold management accountable for tracking expenditures against the budget, following the budget, and making sure that we don't go out of line items, other than what the policy is. And as far as I can tell, that's not happening. So a budget doesn't mean anything unless we're requiring that people stick to it.
That's true.
Patty?
Yes, Patty.
Well, it's the first time I ever understood the reserve and the surplus. And to me, it's like surplus is cake batter and the reserve is the cake. It's like while you're making this money, you're developing and you're having a surplus. But once at the end of the year, then it goes into something. It becomes a reserve, which is kind of untouchable except for these certain reasons. That's what it seems like to me, unless I'm wrong. I understood, I think, finally the difference between what you're all talking about. So I would, I agree. I don't know where we're going to get the money to even add to these budgets with this money, but I would also, support doing something here. We've talked about this for about 3 years.
Okay. Other comments?
Well,
this is LaVarin. I guess, we have something here that we can look at because we have gone over this since I sent out a couple of things and, just kind of outlining, just the definitions, I think, is the first thing that we have here. Reserves, annual net surplus, operating reserve. I just sent it out, an emergency reserve. So I know what we're trying to get at. What we're trying to understand, again, is like, when we start planning, exactly what we're how much reserve can we have. And as Dave pointed out, the purpose was that we needed to understand what reserve we really need to have, which would be the reserve after at the bottom line, after the surplus deficit, after cash and capital. And so we wanted to know, okay, when you get to a certain point and you're taking care of a number of months of operating expense, and exactly, you have this excess, when can we start spending this at the station for things that need to be done that have been put off because for various reasons, perhaps we didn't have management in place to carry these things through. Like, for example, in KPFA, we have the building, the restaurant there on the corner, and nothing has been done. We have the same issues with the flooding in KPFA, and nothing in the construction and the plan to really solve those issues are never really taken care of because we're never really sure if we can spend our reserve, and KPFA has a reserve, probably, if we look at this definition, close to $1 million. But again, we need to put a plan in place, and so that we're all consistent, though, with having the proper reserve. So I think this is a good start. If we can kind of like understand what these definitions are, they kind of roll together, and they're a little not quite as clear, I think, as we could make it. But, you know, I'm willing to, as you were saying, well, we can move forward, you know, entertain the motion to call a question on it and see if there are any objections to this proposed policy.
This is Jane.
Let me hear.
This is Jane.
And Dave would like to add one other point, too.
Oh,
sure.
I'd like to stack, don't you?
Yeah, Dave, please.
Me?
Dave?
Jane asked.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, Jane.
Jane asked, Dave asked, and Lonnie had asked before either of us, before you spoke, Levon.
Okay, sorry. So we want to go with Lonnie first, and then Jane? Lonnie, are you there?
Yeah, well, and I hope so. I'm not carrying this on for the whole meeting. But I think that's clarifying. What is being proposed, as I hear Dave and Broody talk, this is more restrictive than current policy. It requires 3 months. Current policy does not. And,
that's right.
Who wouldn't support that? I do. I would love to have it 3 months. And the intent here is to ask each unit to start building toward that 3 months. I certainly support it. I was basically talking about 1 month being in place at the end of the year and not insisting on any reserves. That's what we've been operating with in the last 2 or 3 months. And I certainly support a station that has 2 or 3 months in reserve being able to come up with a way to utilize those funds. I certainly wouldn't oppose it. I think that's wise to do. It's investment in your capital. So I'm not opposing that at all. The only issue is 4 stations that have no reserves and no surplus after cash and capital. What I have proposed and will propose again is that station in that situation has to come up with what I'm proposing is a 14 or 18 month plan to build toward that 1 month. So that's really what I'm seeing as clarification of the issues from my point of view. So I'm not seeing a big dispute. We're talking about two different things. And I'm not seeing that they're ultimately contradictory either. So if we were later on in the meeting, policy saying stations shall build toward even the 1 month, not to mention the 3, I certainly would support that, that we're talking about the same thing. But some stations don't have reserves, and we need to have and be clear that they should be building toward that in the budget process.
Thank you. Jane?
Okay, I did a quick search, and I discovered in our messages in our group back from 2004, you know, is when the first questions I see coming in about what this meant. So I think it is time to put it in black and white, and I really applaud what the working group has come up with. I've made a comparison of what Brian had sent out with few weeks ago with what Lonnie sent out today, and I also have found some of my own notes when they first sent this out to us. And I would like us to go. I have some suggested changes to this that I think would make it go a lot better. And I would like to throw them out to the group at this time, if you permit me.
Sure, please go ahead.
Okay, 1, 2, and 6 are definitions. I mean 1, 2, and 7. And I would like to see 1, 2, and 7 go together at the end, because when you begin with the definitions, kind of stifling. Oh, they're giving me, but it's really nice to have them clearly. And I know there's different ways of looking at it, but in my way of looking at it, it would be much better if we began with number 3. Each unit must have a reserve of at least 1 month's operating expenses at the end of the fiscal year. Units may tap this reserve to cover cash flow shortfalls, but must replenish it by the end of the year. And I would not have 4 being a separate number, because it's still part of the same thought. Any unit that does not meet the operating reserve requirement shall budget an annual net surplus of no less than 1 month's operating expenses. So that's number 1. You can have it in 2 paragraphs, 1A and 1B, but it's 1.